If I could ask you to stand again, then we'll just read the scripture in unison, and then we'll get started. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? And Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. And Jesus answered, Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you for such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Please be seated. Now, it's always important to bring notes when you preach, especially here. Sometime today, this week, or in the coming weeks, you will see this sign somewhere in the streets or the highways of Connecticut. Especially when you try to get on a interchange there, or this highway interaction. I want us to focus on the sign for a little bit, especially the bottom word, way. Did you know that in the early church, it was not referred to as the Christian church, it was considered the way? In the book of Acts, you'll see that a number of times, it says that Paul prosecuted people of the way. Even some of the experienced people knew that it was considered the way. And so this particular sign, my prayer is that when you see it today, later on, that it'll trigger something, that the Holy Spirit will probably stir something in you that will remind you. And we're thankful for the Department of Connecticut Transportation for providing these signs. Now, have you ever thought for a moment, why do they have those silly signs? I mean, who is dumb enough not to know? Well, there's enough people not to know. And unfortunately, most of the people who get caught in what we call wrong-way driving or countermeasure driving ends in fatalities. Oftentimes, it's the driver, but it is also the person that they hit. In fact, I didn't realize, Kevin, that Connecticut is the fourth highest state for wrong-way driving. And so the idea is that people go the wrong way. Number one, because they're impaired. Two, perhaps because they're elderly. Three, because they're distracted. And perhaps four is that some roads are just kind of designed where it's very difficult to kind of really know at that point. So wrong way driving. So now what they have is that they have detective systems where on the road it triggers lights and people flash. You know, the call goes into the state police. And so on, and apparently it can help someone. But the reality is, and I was thinking about this song, Kevin, that we, at one time, were driving down the wrong road. Ephesians says that we were dead to our sins, that we were lost, we were without hope. We were driving in the wrong way, and we didn't even know it at that point. Now, let's ask the question, I am the way to what? Right? Do you ever go drive south and you see these signs? You know, it points to, it says, free orange juice, right? And you go and you go and you know, it takes you all the way, kind of, you don't know where you're going. The real kicker is, do you ever get coffee thirsty? and I see this sign for Dunkin' Donuts, right? And it says, and yet Dunkin' Donuts is pretty worth going off the highway for, but sometimes you drive and you drive and you end up driving like 10 miles just to kind of get the cup of coffee, and so it's kind of not worth it. But what is it he say? When he says, I am the way to what? I'm going to argue that it is the way to the Father. The way to the Father. Scripture says that the Father is preparing a room for us in heaven, right? And and he's working on that. And so the idea is that by following in Jesus as the way, we are following our road to the Father. It kind of reminds me of the Wizard of Oz. Remember the Wizard of Oz? And follow the yellow brick road and you'll get to the wizard. But then we found out clearly that the wizard was a fraud. But the reality here is that the Father is preparing a place for us. I don't know, have any idea what that would look like, do you? You know, we kind of picture you have your happy place, you know, we'll have a view, or it'll look like New Hampshire mountains, or some of you would like the beach. But the reality is that Jesus is preparing a way how to get to the Father. Second thing that he's preparing us for a way is to way to get to greater things. Jesus says that by following me, you will get to do greater things than I have done, which is kind of blows you away. Right, but the reality is by following that way, this is where that can lead to. Thirdly, it leads to the way of answered prayer. By following the way, it provides us with a connection with heaven. We go to the throne of grace and asking God. Now, you know, and I know, we pray for different things, and sometimes it's like bouncing off the ceiling. But the reality is that by following the way, right, provides a way to access to those prayers. And then finally, it provides a way to the other counselor, the Holy Spirit. I often wondered, and maybe we can have a discussion, why Jesus couldn't be on earth with the Holy Spirit. They'd make a great tag team, right? But it was almost as if in order for the Holy Spirit to come, Jesus had to return. And he said that I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit, and he will be with you forever at that point. So that's really then the way. Now, I know you've been doing a series on I Ams. I'm of the opinion that this I Am is the most toxic of them all. We live in a very pluralistic society. And you go anywhere and you say that Jesus is the only way, they cut you right off, right? People will let you talk about God, but you start talking about Jesus, and people kind of get nervous. What about all the people, right? All the arguments down through the years. What about all the people who never heard about Jesus, you know, all centuries and centuries ago and all those kind of things? So we didn't make this up. This is just what the scripture says, and this is what we're called to proclaim. So when Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, when he says that I am the way, really what's happening is that we are having communion is reunited. We were separated from God, and now we celebrated communion, but we now have that. And when he says, I am the truth, what he's actually asking is, who can I believe? Now, you know and I know that we live in a time in our country that we don't know what to believe sometimes. Where do you get your news, right? I would suggest that it's probably a good idea to get your news from a number of different sources, right? And then kind of pray that you can kind of put the pieces together. But the reality is, but when Jesus says, I am the truth, he is kind of recovering truth that had been shattered. And finally, what he says is that I am the life. And the answer to that question is, how can I be satisfied? Is it going to be enough? And the reality is that Jesus said that I have come to give you life and to give it to you to the full at that point. So following Jesus is more than just a path. It's a person. More than just a performance, it's a person. More than just a philosophy, it's a person. And because it's a person, we need to be committed. Remember, the scripture says, well, I'll follow you. You know, that question, I'll follow you. But let me first take care of, you know, the various types of things. So if you're going to be committed, you know, it's kind of an interesting kind of a thing. You know, some of you might know that I, over the years, have done some counseling. And sometimes people will come, husband and wife will come, and the husband is notoriously unfaithful to his wife. And they've been married for a long time. And One day I asked him, have you ever considered divorcing your wife? And he looked at me and he said, divorce? I wouldn't do that. We're committed. Which meant he had a different meaning of commitment than perhaps you and I would have. So what does it, it's an old-fashioned word, right? Commitment. So I'm of the opinion that when commitment is saying everything about you can count on me, you come first, I won't quit on you, and you have my all. Sometimes today, and the Holy Spirit serves, you yourself may know that you're on a road, that you know is the wrong way. And perhaps the Holy Spirit is kind of nudging you and saying, I realize it's the wrong way. But the Japanese have a little story that says, and Japanese are known for trains, right? The bullet train. Japanese say that if you get on the wrong train, get off the very next station. Otherwise, the longer you stay on that train, the more expensive it'll be on your return trip. You know, 50 years ago, this month, in fact, this week, I graduated from the United States Marine Corps Officer School. But I had a senior year left in college, and I was running cross country. Now, I was a pretty big guy, but I was fast. Now, if you know anything about cross country in the college, it's a 5-mile race. And you race not just with one school, but it's a handful of schools. And where we were racing was Van Cortlandt Park in the Bronx, New York. It's kind of the mecca of cross country running on the East Coast. On this particular day, now you need to know that I was what they call a rabbit. Now, a rabbit is someone who just goes as fast as they can. Right from the kind of throw everybody off. So, meaning that at the 1-mile mark, I was in first place. And yet it took all but God's grace to get me to finish because I was exhausted. But it threw the other runners off, right? So here we are in Van Cortlandt Park. Now, I did not realize that on that day, the New York State High School Championships were being held. There were two different courses. But on one particular section of the courses, they overlapped. So typically, I would run out and I'd be in first, but I was used to having people pass me, my fellow teammates and other people, and I was just hoping that I would finish, right, at that point. And then people were passing me, and I was following them. And the next thing I know, I came in 9th in the New York State Championships. Yeah. And I got to the finish line, and I'm looking across the field where my college coach was and realizing I may have come in 9th, but I was running the wrong race. Has that ever been you? You know, there's two things that can happen. You could be running the wrong race and fail miserably, or you could be running the wrong race and succeed miserably. And you don't even know it at that point. So this idea, right, of going the wrong way and realizing it and asking God then for kind of guidance and protection to realize that, how could I have done that? Do you ever think of what David's worst sin was? What's the first thing that comes to your mind? Bathsheba, some of you, yeah? Bathsheba, right. He got unfaithful. He had her husband killed. Now, that was kind of a rough spot to do, right, Mackenzie, right? But the reality is, who died? Well, Uriah died, the baby died, and the reputation of David and Bathsheba clearly was compromised. But I'm going to argue that probably his worst going the wrong way was found in 1 Chronicles 21, where David decided to go down the wrong way, and he had a census. As a result of a census that he took that was not sanctioned by God, 70,000 people died. It's interesting, you don't hear much about that, do you? You know, David, the man after God's own heart, the author of the Psalms. But could you imagine that 70,000 people died? Why? Because David went the wrong way. Now, the enemy's goal is to get us to go the wrong way. Now, I have a lot of friends and a lot of investment in the country of Ukraine. And as you know, they've been at war for a number of years here. And one of the things that they do in Ukraine is that they change the road signs so that when the Russians come, right, and they come close to the various cities, they don't know where they're going. It's a typical kind of a thing. They did this in World War II with the French resistance, right? When the Germans invaded, they tried to confuse them by altering the signs. Our enemy, Satan, tries to do the same thing. All he wants us to do is get us to somehow think that by going down the wrong road isn't as bad as it looks. Now, he started with Eve, right? You know the story of Eve. Right, in terms of getting the plant, and all the way through Scripture, if I can just get them to do that. So the question is, under what circumstances or conditions would you do something bizarre and unusual? Now, you say all the different kinds of things, but there are certain circumstances or conditions that we can do a lot of different things. In the Proverbs, it says, I don't want to be too rich, and I don't want to be so poor that I would steal, and so on. But the reality is, we all are capable of that. And I think this idea that to remind ourselves. So one of the things when you see this sign, first of all, thank God that he saved you from going the wrong way. Also, if the Holy Spirit is stirring something inside of you, say, I realize I got to get off to the next station. I realize this is not working. This is not honoring God. And I need to be able to do that. And this sign perhaps will trigger that in some way. And we're hoping that perhaps that could be. So we have the way has been restored, the communion has been restored, we have truth, right, and we have answered prayer. Greater works can be performed by following Jesus. It's not a path, it's not performance. You know, isn't it interesting how many different denominations there are in the world? There are literally thousands and thousands. And I suspect that what's happened sometimes is that people take this sign and said, you're doing this the wrong way. Pastor, you're doing communion the wrong way. You're doing baptism the wrong way. And so as a result, right, we can get all kinds of things, legalism and all different kinds of things. But the reality is we're following Jesus. It's a person. And, you know, you can know a lot about the Bible and not know Jesus. But you cannot know Jesus without knowing a lot about the Bible. A lot of us have this information, you know, we podcasts and books and tapes, but do you get to know him on a personal level? You know, you've been praying a lot for people with various illnesses, but when it's your child, right, all of a sudden it's different, right? And you realize these prayers, really, you just go to the throne of grace. And the reality is, why? Because God goes from information to personal, right? And you're calling out, yeah, I need you. That's a very important kind of a thing. Now, in a couple days, we're remembering the 24th anniversary of 9/11. And I brought a little gift for you here today, and you can pick it up on the way out. It's in a little basket. This is a red bandana. Some of you might know the story of the red bandana. A fellow by the name of Wells Crowder. Wells Crowder was from Nyack, New York, and his father was a fireman. And when Wells was 6 years old, his father gave him a red bandana. And his father always carried a blue bandana, right? And his father taught him, you know, he put a little kerchief in his jacket. He said, that's for show, and this is for blow. That was kind of his expression, right? So everywhere Wells went, he always carried the red bandana. He played lacrosse and soccer at Nyack High School. He played at Boston College, and every game, you know, he would have this around his neck. It was just kind of his trademark. You know, some people would have maybe a cross or whatever. He would carry this red bandana. On the day of 9/11, Wells was working in the South Tower on the 104th floor. When the North Tower, which was hit first, was hit, he called his parents and said that he was okay and not to worry. But then, as you know, it wasn't all that long after then the North Tower or the South Tower was hit. Now, when the North Tower was hit, the plane entered somewhere around the 99th floor and it cut across, which wiped out all of the elevators and the staircases. So anybody from the 99th floor to the top did not survive. But in the South Tower, the plane kind of hit at an angle between the 78th floor and I believe the 83rd, wiping out staircase B and C, but not necessarily staircase A. Interesting that that would take place. Now, Wells was working there, and he realized everything was chaotic, and he kind of went into action. Now, his parents didn't know about this. In fact, it wasn't until 6 months after 9/11 that they discovered his body in the lobby of the South Tower. But they looked at the papers, and they looked at the New York Times. They were doing little stories about people who survived. And then they read that a couple of the survivors said, out of nowhere came a man with a red bandana. And he rescued us. He said, come this way. I found stairways. Don't go that way. And they all said there was something about his voice. We just got up and followed. Because he had the red bandana, because of the smoke and the dust and so on. We didn't know his name. And so these parents saw this and contacted the people. And they wanted to know if that was their son. And they said, definitely that was your son. We wouldn't be alive without him. He knew the way, right? Now, he would take these people down, but then he would go back up and get some more and go down. And, of course, he lost his life as a result of that. But the comfort that they had, because they knew that their son, right, had served a purpose. He helped people who had no way out except the way that he had found. He had trained to be a firefighter, even though he was a trader up on Wall Street, right? But this red bandana became the symbol. And if you ever go to the 9/11 Museum, you will see a red bandana. I suggest reading The Man with the Red Bandana. It's a children's book. It's written by Wells' sister. But it's also an adult version as well. And I thought, how appropriate. You know, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So we have this sign on the highway. Let it be a trigger. But I wanted this red bandana to be a reminder, right, that someone, right, was willing to risk in the midst of all the chaos. And it kind of reminded me of Bethany when she was talking about how the sheep know the voice of the shepherd, right? They had never met this man. And you could imagine the smells, the chaos. There were probably all kinds of dead people all around. But there was something about his voice. We got up and we followed him. And I think that's really the message for us all, right? That the cross, right, as a result of the cross, that he takes us from going the wrong way to going his way, not because of a performance or a philosophy or a particular path, because we're following Jesus. And if anybody ever asks you or says to you, Jesus never claimed to be God, right? The reality is it's all wrapped up in the 14th chapter. That's the reason why he was crucified. He wasn't crucified for these miracles, but the reality is. And so I hang on to this. I want to give you that. There's, again, there's in the basket, take one. If there's somebody not here, you can. I think we have close to 75. We were hoping for a good turnout, right, at that point. But let it be a reminder that perhaps on 9/11 that you can recognize and thank God that he provided a way and that you might have an opportunity to help someone, to be able to risk your life, right, to help and to steer people who are going the wrong way. But be careful not to do it in a way that's self-serving. Unfortunately, it has been abused as well. There is more than one way to get to New York City from here, right? You know it, right? And so, depending on circumstances, you have to decide that. But there are people in your life that will say that you do it my way or the highway, and that's unfortunate. The reality is when Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, he's giving us a great gift, but be prepared for pushback. The world is not going to be happy about that. But the reality is, it's not about that. It's about recognizing that we found a way for salvation. We found a way to the Father. We found a way to greater things. And we also found a way to the Holy Spirit. So my prayer for all of us here today is that when we see this sign sometime today or later this month, that the Holy Spirit will trigger a gratitude and perhaps a conviction that maybe I need to get off the next exit. How do I return to where God wants me to be? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're grateful. Grateful that you have provided a way for us. For a long time, Lord, we were going in the wrong way, and only by God's grace that we have survived. Thank you, Father, for providing a way to the Father. Thank you for providing a way to the Spirit, to answered prayer, and to greater works. Use us, Father. We pray this day that you would use each one of us in some way to encourage, to build up, and to be the person that you would want us to be. In Jesus' name, amen.